I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Of course, we are watching towards the north. We are looking at Hezbollah. We are checking and making the necessary precautions in order to be strong in our defensive and offensive capabilities also in the north. And indeed, we have seen Hezbollah attacks against forces, including anti-tank guided missiles against our forces and also against civilians on the border with Lebanon. We have two core messages to Lebanon. First of all, as a sovereign state, don't let attacks originate from your territory. It is your responsibility to make sure Hezbollah does not get involved. And another message to Hezbollah, look very carefully how we are dismantling Hamas in Gaza. Step after step, target after target, location after location. Do you want to cross the threshold and become the next Hamas? I would highly recommend they look very closely and not cross that threshold.
That is a very direct warning from an IDF Lieutenant Colonel Lerner to Hezbollah on the northern border of Israel. They've already had rockets fired by Hezbollah from Lebanon, and his point to them is very direct. Look at what we're doing in Gaza. And Lebanon, if you don't want the same kind of retaliation falling upon your people and your communities, you do not let Hezbollah launch attacks from your location. They've already done it. They have retaliated to some extent already. But they don't know at this point if it's going to increase. It is possible, I say possible, that maybe Hezbollah is recognizing that Lebanon will not let them continue their operations there. Lebanon is also a terrorist state, but not like Iran. And Hezbollah is like Hamas, only stronger. They have many more rockets. They have more opportunities. They have ways to reach territories that Hamas cannot. And they've got multiple missiles, more sophisticated than Hamas has. If that northern front opens for Israel, it's already going to be a bloody situation just going into Gaza. But if that northern front expands, then we really have a situation that's escalating and pushing toward possible World War III. I'm not trying to get over dramatic with you. I'm just saying this powder keg is getting more and more dangerous with each day. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, October 24, 2023. This is the first hour of Larry Connors USA. We have 2 hours back-to-back for you, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m. right here. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video from the studio, and we're showing you pictures that you might want to watch in. A lot of folks like to watch us as opposed to just listen. You will find that at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. And also News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. We're available on several platforms. If you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you'll be able to put it back together and pull it up as you want it, and then share it with others. We encourage you to do so. Now, we have had, of course, in this nation, numerous protests that have come out and said, we really need to have Israel stop. This is enough. It's enough. It was fine for Hamas to go into Israel and slaughter as many as they wanted, as viciously as they wanted. But now for Israel to retaliate and go after them, here come members of our own Congress shouting out to everyone. This would be Congresswoman Omar and Tlaib, and just their short statements tell you how they're venting against Israel and in support of the Hamas terrorists.
How many more
killings is enough for you? Is it 1,000 more? 2,000 more? 3,000 more? How many more Palestinians would make you happy if they die?
Most America is not with you, Mr. President. Most of America is not with the people that don't want to de-escalate and facilitate a ceasefire.
Yeah, they want a ceasefire now. And the point, bring how many more Palestinians do you want to kill? They're not trying to kill Palestinians. They're going after Hamas. Now, understand the difference, and yet the similarity. Palestinians live in Gaza. It was originally controlled by the Palestinian Authority. Then Fatah took it over, and then Hamas ran them out, and now they've been controlling it. And Hamas members are Palestinian, but not every Palestinian is a Hamas terrorist. In fact, many of them would love to get out of that country. But pardon me, the part of the issue is Hamas has been killing Palestinians as they try to escape and get out. They want them there. They want human shields. That's why they're holding hostages. Senator Mark Rubio said, despite the noise you hear from the progressive left and the yells from Tlaib and Omar and the rest of the progressive idiot pack, which would include Congresswoman Bush, Senator Rubio says, that's not where the majority of Americans stand.
Despite some disturbing images of people in the street supporting Hamas in the aftermath of all this and some ridiculous stuff coming out of academia where we have a lot of morally confused leaders of higher education, and that's a separate problem for Americans to confront. I think by and large, most Americans and most members of Congress overwhelmingly are going to be against anybody who decides they're going to go in and massacre elderly women, teenage girls, and little babies. And so I'm glad to see that that level of moral clarity still exists in our politics. The challenge is going to be the following, and that is, this is not one of these 72-hour campaigns or two-week deals.
No, it's going to go longer than that. If you're expecting it to be a fast, they're going to fold their tents and go away, they're not likely to do so. Rubio's right about that. The other issue, as he continues to expand on that thought, it's going to be a bloody, nasty, messy war.
I mean, this is going to be messy. It's a protracted situation. It's going to be, these guys are deeply entrenched inside of Gaza, and it's not going to be easy to degrade them to an acceptable level. And so the real challenge is not today. The real challenge is 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now, because the way it has played out historically is Israel is attacked. Everyone rallies to Israel's side. Israel does what it needs to do. And then all of a sudden, starting in Western Europe and then spreading even here in the United States, you start hearing calls of, okay, you've done enough. It's time to stop. And that's where I think the real challenge is going to come. I think we need to understand something very clearly. If Hamas is not eliminated, if Hamas is not substantially degraded, they will come back and they will do this again and they will do it worse. And other groups will look at this as an example of what they need to do and they will do the same. We need to understand that if we don't stop this now, it won't be, you know, 1,000, 1,200 people. It could be thousands upon thousands of people that are murdered because they happen to be Jews living in Israel and are hated by these people. So if this isn't stopped now, it's going to lead to more loss of life, more bloodshed. If we've learned anything from history, is that if you don't confront and defeat evil, evil will grow, evil will spread, and evil will come for you.
Come to you and for you and your family. You want to put it on a scale that's very simple to understand? Cockroaches. They may not be evil, but they carry diseases that could hurt you or your children. You certainly don't want them in your home. But you have to fully exterminate them. You can't just squash one or two that you find in the kitchen, because where there is one, there are many. And Hezbollah and Hamas are built in that fashion. They have plenty of cannon fodder that they're willing to fire at will. And they don't care the price. They believe in the cause. You cannot reason with terrorists because they don't value human life at all. And again, back to the words and the thoughts of the IDF Lieutenant Colonel Lerner. He's saying, basically, we're dealing with Hamas now, but we're certainly prepared for what might happen in the north, where we border Lebanon, and with Hezbollah.
We have a very, very strong military force. We have recruited the largest amount of reservists in the history of the state of Israel, some 300,000 servicemen and women. And indeed, we are prepared to fight, if needs be, on two or even multi-front war. We do want to be focused on Hamas, the situation and the paradigm where a terrorist organization becomes a terrorist government with a terrorist army can no longer be an accepted norm. This organization needs to be retired from the realm of existence once and for all, and that is our focus.
Yeah, they need to be not just retired, exterminated, to be correct. We've had, of course, two more hostages released. That makes four now. And Hamas is indicating we're releasing them for humanitarian considerations. That's a lie. After slaughtering, chopping off heads, in words of one captured terrorist, we were acting like animals, things that even animals wouldn't do. He admitted that. He said our leaders told us, forget the Quran, do whatever you want, stomp on their heads, chop their heads off, regardless of their age. And now they want to tell you we are going to be humanitarian and release these two and the other two because of their health and issue. I'm glad they're free, but I'm not going to be glad until all of them are released. And there is where an issue comes up. Does Hamas release them because they don't want those in custody to die? Because they would lose bargaining chips?
We do have some breaking news for you. We're learning from the Israeli military at this hour that they've taken out three deputy commanders of Hamas inside the Gaza Strip using precision strikes. This is significant because it's yet another indication the Israelis are going for the top of Hamas leadership ahead of what is expected to be a ground operation into the Strip. You mentioned overnight 400 airstrikes targeting both Hamas and Islamic Jihad cells inside Gaza. The infrastructure damage is spreading throughout the Strip, as the Israelis are telling people to continue moving south to get out of the way in the north. They're also dropping new leaflets today calling for people to give any information they have about those hostages to the Israelis, offering a monetary reward and safe passage if that information is confirmed.
In other words, they're offering a bounty on the heads of the Hamas leaders and other terrorists and information on where to find the hostages. There will be many Palestinians willing to take that up if they think they can do it without being notified that Hamas is aware of it. That's a good idea. There are reports that the U.S. is urging Israel to delay a ground war. Now, the question would be, why? What's at stake here? Retired General Jack King speaking on Fox News.
It's likely that the United States then has some intelligence that Iran is going to expand the war by releasing Hezbollah to attack Israel. Not with the limited, measured attacks that are taking place right now. Those attacks that are going on in the northern border with Israel and Lebanon, that's designed to force the Israelis to commit forces to that area as opposed to Gaza. But the attack we're talking about is they have over 130,000 rockets and missiles, most of them considerably more lethal, greater range, and more precision than what the Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad has in Gaza. So that is really the issue. If they're doing that, I suspect they have some pretty good intelligence. I think when we assess whether Iran will do this or not, I think a lot has to depend on the Israeli operation in Gaza, whether they order Hezbollah to do this.
Now, the U.S. has said we will not tell Israel what to do. But if they're encouraging them to hold back, maybe it is because they have intel where some hostages are and they're going to try to get them out. As I've told you previously, there's no doubt Israeli Mossad operatives and others in hostage rescue are involved. We know United Kingdom sent some of their hostage rescue sources. The U.S. has hostage rescue sources possibly also in Gaza. And we don't want them to be in harm's way, but we need to get the hostages out. And there's another reason. General King, again retired, says there's another reason we may want them to take a little more time before Israel goes full ground force.
We're a global power, and we can project power any place in the world, but we don't have it sitting in every location, you know, that we may have a potential conflict in. So we have to move resources to that area. No other country can move the kind of resources we have. You're seeing two major aircraft carrier groups moving into that area, fighter squadrons moving into it, air defense systems doing the same. No other country can do that on the scale that we're doing it. But we're not sitting there where any conflict could potentially occur and have all of our forces ready to go. The fact that we can get them there in a matter of days, we're the only power in the world that can do that.
And logistics are a key point. You want to get everything assembled before you're fully ready, if you can and you have time. Now, against that backdrop, yesterday President Biden said he was open to discuss a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas if the Palestinian terrorist organization released all hostages it holds in Gaza, 220 plus, and it's possible that half of them are American or dual passport. Biden said at a White House event he would support a hostage for ceasefire deal, indicating that the U.S. may not support Israel's goal of eliminating Hamas. That's not really going to fly with the Israelis. They want to eliminate Hamas because of the very reason you're at Senator Rubio. We cannot let one stay. They will foment, they will multiply, they'll be ready to strike again. And so he's basically saying, according to Biden, look, if you're going to let all of the hostages go and accounted for, then we will work with you to get Israel to cease fire. Again, I don't think that's going to satisfy the Israelis. There is a theory that apparently is being expressed in Israeli media that Biden intends to, quote, hug Israel so tightly with rhetoric expressions of support that it cannot take practical military steps to defend itself. Also possible Biden is just bluffing. Does he know? Who knows if he knows? In the next hour, you're going to hear from David Harsanyi and talking about what can be done and how polls are showing support for Israel are also hiding some ugly truth inside our nation. You want to hear his story on that. And coming up, what did we lose with Trump's defeat? Not just lower prices and mean tweets. Where do we stand in the world, aside from better economics and a lack of mean tweets? The view from Victor Davis Hanson, often writing for the Wall Street Journal and others. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party? Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty, reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think Donald Trump, to his credit, showed us with Soleimani and with ISIS, he destroyed them. And Iran did not do anything. And I there would be no way Hamas was doing this between 2017 and January of 21. They had a small war, but they never did anything like this. And I don't think Vladimir Putin would have gone into Ukraine. And I don't think that China would have sent a balloon. And just because he was unpredictable and they thought the United States would be would be a dangerous thing to tempt it. And I think we want to get back to that.
We do need to get back to that. And those are the words of Victor Davis Hanson, an analyst for Wall Street Journal, National Review, also New York Times. He was appearing in an interview program with John Anderson. And when he says that they might have seen Trump as unpredictable, it also translates to stronger and more likely to retaliate if Russia tried to go in Ukraine, as it has done under the Biden administration, and it also did going into Crimea under Barack Obama. And North Korea was firing missiles on a regular basis, testing them. That has ceased until Biden came back in. Then they started over. And as far as Hamas striking in the way they did against Israel, not likely to happen either. Now, those are what-if games. I understand that. But you know where we were. You know where we were during the Trump years. I don't care if you hate the man, everything about him. You cannot deny certain things. The economy was much better than we are now. You know that. If you say otherwise, you're either lying, stupid, or you don't care, or you're so rich, nothing bothers you. And we did not have all of these war fronts underway, and the possibility of more. Before we wrap up this hour, you're going to hear some comments from the Saudi prince regarding nuclear weapons. This is a very key point for them, because if Iran gets nuclear weapons, which the Biden administration going right back into the trap that they'd set to pull Barack Obama in, Biden is headed that direction as well. The only thing that's slowed it down and backed it off now is because Hamas, under the guise and cover and with the money and support of Iran, has carried out this barbaric attack. And Hezbollah is on the same page, as a must. And so all those kinds of talks about getting them facilities for nuclear capability, only to improve our economy, make our people better. No one believes that. And again, if you talk about the jobs, the money, I mean, you may have seen increases in wages, but the inflation is still outpacing you. And if we look at lower unemployment numbers, that's because often you have people holding down two, maybe three jobs to try to keep themselves even. And how the Fed has hiked mortgage rates on homes. I should say interest rates, and that in turn translates to interest rates on homes and cars. Remember, we were around 0.5%. You couldn't get any money in the bank. I mean, you put money in there, the moths will eat it up before you make another dollar on top of what you put in. Now, to that extent, if you have money and you can put it in, you're going to get a better return than you would have under Trump. But at the same time, things didn't cost as much. And the Biden administration, pushing the Green New Deal all the time, is just further entrapping you. I was talking to a guy last night, and we got into the discussion of electric vehicles. And he said pretty much what I know many of you believe. There may come a time, but it ain't now. And you can't walk away. He joked. He said, I think I'll get my son one when he goes off to college, but I'm going to get him one that's the charge is only going to be good for 80 miles at a time. So I know he won't be wandering off down the Keys when he's supposed to be in college. Or at least he hopes so. But Victor Davis Hanson, who is very astute and analyzing and looking at what we've accomplished under Trump and where we are now. And he's not directly intending to indict Joe Biden, but he knows the comparisons are so clear and distinct, they have to be pointed out. He says there are some things about Trump we could do without, but are you willing to accept those things back in return for what else you got from Trump?
It doesn't mean we have to have the Trumpian rhetoric, but he set a model. I think everybody says, wow, 2014, Biden administration, they moved in Ukraine, the Russians did. 2017 to 20, they did not. Why? Iran talking like they're going to just do this and do this and do this to us. Suddenly, for 4 years, they're quiet. And everybody said, if you move the embassy to Jerusalem, if you say that the Golan Heights shall be Israeli, if you cut off the $700 million to the Palestinian, if you say that you're not going to give one dime to Hamas, you can't do that. And he did it all, and nothing happened. And that was because we were strong and reliable.
Yeah, strong and reliable. And they knew that Trump would stand by allies and his word of what he was doing. And he is correct. We've had other presidents, that would include Republican presidents, who could have moved the embassy to Jerusalem, but chose not to because they were fearing the backlash. Trump's attitude was, to hell with the backlash. It's been approved. We should do it. I want it done. And it did. And you could make all the threats you wanted that if you do that, you're going to basically open up the world to a lot of issues. And of course, when you listen to Hanson, he's looking at the U.S. not as a singular entity. He's keeping in mind the allies we have around us. And to that extent, He said they look to Trump, and they know where his alliances will be. That, in turn, makes them stronger.
Allies like Australia can be assured that they don't have to go out on a limb. And that's the real issue, isn't it? Because when we step back, then Japan and Australia and Taiwan, and they're confronted with a China, they'll say, look, the United States is in decline. You better cut a deal with us, or at least understand that we're here. And then we can't ask countries that don't have the wherewithal to stand up to these global bullies. And when we step back, we put them in an impossible situation. But when we step up, and we say, we're not asking you to be at the point of the steer, but we're asking all of us to have shared interest and to sacrifice together in deterring these people, then we're always surprised how many allies we have. And I don't know why we don't understand that lesson. Some presidents understand it, some don't.
Some don't. Like this one. Now, my director, Quentin, braces the other side of the question. When Trump was there, the allies knew they could count on him, and so they were willing to gather around him. Not asking you to be, as he said, the point of the spear, but you're going to be with us and you're going to help move forward. And yes, we'll do so. Quentin raises a question, reverse that. If we're seen as weak now, which we are, the allies get cold feet. I don't want to get into that too deep with you because you might bail and leave us on the chopping block. It's a very good point, Quentin. I mean, it is, and the nations that are out there, you're going to hear in this country, make America great again as nationalistic and as wrong. Be honest. You go to any of the other countries. You go to France. Do you think they want to do and be a position to make America stronger, but not themselves? Of course they don't. And certainly not China, not Russia. Germany, Canada, they want to make their nation strong. And if we're weak, they know they're going to have to make themselves stronger because we are the last bastion for the free world when you get down to it. We are the shining light on the hill, the U.S. and Israel. And if those lights are even dimmed, not turned out, but dimmed, those allies begin to wander away until they see the bright beam again, almost like the bat signal in the sky. It's time to come back and we can rally. But until then, we'll just hide in the shadows. We don't want to be caught as a target. And the sad thing is, when they take that attitude, they make themselves a target. Because if the U.S. is not strong, they're not going to be strong. And they know that. And the reverse is also true. If the U.S. is weak, they are weaker yet. Victor Davis Hanson, right on point. We need to get back to where we're strong and we're seen as strong by our allies and others. And many presidents have understood that and got it. Some don't. Some like to kowtow, bow to the Chinese, not Trump. Coming up, there's a plea deal entered today that is not good for Trump's legal defense in many cases. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
Because she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you, Your Honor, for the opportunity to address the court. As an attorney who is also a Christian, I take my responsibilities as a lawyer very seriously, and I endeavor to be a person of sound moral and ethical character in all of my dealings. In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true.
That is a tearful plea on behalf of former Trump campaign attorney Jenna Ellis, expressing remorse while pleading guilty Tuesday, today, in Georgia. In fact, went on to say, and you'll hear in a moment, she regretted even representing then-President Trump following the 2020 election. As you heard her say, first as a Christian, as a lawyer, my duty and my obligation and my desire has always been to do what is right. And I truly believe that Trump had a right to challenge the election. But that I also did not do a good job of vetting the other attorneys who were more experienced than me. And she's basically saying they led her down a path that put her into trouble. Now, with her plea, that now makes, in a matter of days, three different attorneys who've stepped forward and made that statement saying that they were pleading guilty to pretty much misdemeanor charges right now. Obviously, the biggest name, Sidney Powell, she did the other day, and Kenny Chesborough, one of the others. A lot's going to be made about the plea and how much it really means to the case. We're going to spend more time on it in the second hour as well. But I want to give you the viewpoint of a CBS legal analyst as to what her plea really means. And in fact, if you listen, you're going to hear what it does not mean.
We have now in short order seen three of the former president's former attorneys plead guilty. And there's no motivation to accepting a plea deal like looking to the left side, looking to the right side and seeing that people you worked with are now taking these deals. I think ultimately this is not good for the former president. I think Trump, one, wanted to be able to rely on a defense called assistance of counsel. And when you have three of your counsels pleading guilty to criminal violations, that becomes more complicated, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Two, I think Trump wanted a preview of Fannie Willis's cases. And now that these plea deals are happening, these cases won't go to trial. He won't see that preview. And so I think that this is good news for the prosecution, and it has to feel rather ominous for the former president.
That's Jessica Levinson, CBS legal analyst. And she's talking about Fannie Mills, or Fannie Mills, as I call her, the prosecutor in Georgia who brought the charges. And no other prosecutor in Georgia would join her. And I'm sure she's jumping up and down applauding. See, I got three of these attorneys to roll over on Trump. Have they? Or have they not? Now, again, Jessica Levinson, the CBS legal analyst, said it's a classic case of where you're one in a lineup accused of various crimes, and you know some of the others on either side of you are facing similar, and you see one, as you look to the left, step out of the line and take a plea deal, and you look over here to the right, and then the other one is doing it, and you're thinking, I got to get out of here. I cannot stay back here. I've got to take a jump while I can. Jenna Ellis, now the third former Trump campaign official to take a plea deal with the prosecutors. Sentenced to 5 years probation. And like the others who took the plea deals, Kenny Chesbrough and Sidney Powell, she has to write a letter of apology to the citizens of Georgia. Oh, they're going to love that. They're going to lap it up like dogs hitting their first water stream. They're going to be all in it. So she pled guilty to one count of aiding and abetting false statements and writings for her participation at a December 3rd, 2020 Georgia Legislative Committee hearing. Did she go out and tamper with anything, change votes? Or no, she just, as she said, I took advice from senior attorneys who knew more than I did, and I basically became a spokesman and parroted what they said. And look where it's landed her. In fact, to that extent, I want to go back to the CBS legal analyst, Jessica Levinson. And right now, with these three and maybe more dominoes to fall, all of them being misdemeanor, but all depriving Trump to hear actual evidence that might be presented against him since they're doing a plea deal, are we at a point now that it's going to be a stacked deck against Trump?
We have talked in the past about how I believe, given the charges, you do not have to show that the former president knew that he lost. You do have to show intent, but not as to the fact that he knew he was trying to steal an election, but as to other criminal elements of these charges. But again, I think that these guilty pleas, all of them, are people who are providing the former president with advice. They will be able to tell the jury what they said to him, the conversations that they had. That's going to be helpful to paint a picture to the jury and to help put meat on the bones of these prongs of the criminal code here.
The prongs of the criminal code. Now, those of you who listen to this program a lot, you probably didn't like me covering anything about that about Trump. But I've told you before, there is no sacred cow on this program. And I lay all of it out for you. And those on the left who are listening, I'm sure they're saying, oh, great, finally Larry's covering something of value. But I'm not going to forget the Biden crime family allegations. And the most recent, as I told you yesterday, the House Oversight Committee had released Hunter and James Biden financials September 28th, and then released evidence Friday that James Biden wrote Joe Biden a $200,000 check, 2018, and it came from his financial statements, Jim Biden's financial statements. Marjorie Taylor Greene added, this is a money laundering scheme, same type of scheme that may have put people in jail. What you do basically is you buy a company going bankrupt or invest in a company going bankrupt to save it, and then you run money through it like a criminal enterprise. Now, that's the part that the state-controlled media would prefer I not, just move away from that. Just let's stay with the guilty pleas. No, we're going to look at all of it. Now, let me caution you on something. The House Oversight Committee, headed up by Comer, Judiciary Committee, headed up by Jordan, you understand that if there's a change of leadership in the House in the next election, if Democrats take control of the House in the next election, the new chair may decide to put all of these aside and just basically wipe them out. That's right. May just say, well, we're not going to continue that. We're going to do something else. Certainly could happen. So that is another reason why you need to be voting, not just because of the presidential election, but to make sure Republicans retain control of the House and hopefully get control of the Senate. And speaking of the Republicans, they have apparently decided to move forward and accept that they are going to basically have a speaker. They're going to need to still go through full confirmation, but they are elevating, at last report, Majority Whip Tom Emmer, Republican of Minnesota, to be the next speaker nominee. And we'll see how the vote goes. Fox News reporter Brett Baer scored a big interview with the Saudi prince. First interview which the prince has given speaking only English. And apparently, according to Brett Baer, no subject was off limits. But the question about Iran and nuclear weapons, that's big. And that's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Are you concerned, though, Iran gets a nuclear weapon, about them getting a nuclear weapon?
When we are concerned of any country getting a nuclear weapon, that's a bad move. And you don't need to get a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. Even if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, any country use a nuclear weapon, that means they are having a war with the rest of the world. The world cannot see another Hiroshima. If the world see 100,000 people dead, that means you are in a war with the rest of the world. So it's a useless effort to reach a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. If you use it, you got to have a big fight with the rest of the world.
If they get one, will you?
If they get one, we have to get one.
Ah, right there. If Iran gets one, we must have one. You have nukes scattered all over the Middle East, and suddenly it's not just Hamas charging through a barricade. You got nukes flying left and right. But again, the Saudi prince's remarks that if Iran gets one, then we're going to have one. And that's part of the backdrop as to why Trump wanted to get out of the Iran nuclear talks, which Biden walked right back into. Because he knows that Israel's not going to allow to have a nuclear weapon poised next to it. There could be, you know, it's happened before, there could be some kind of malfunction. at the Iran nuclear facility and things blow up. They can't proceed for a while. Wouldn't be the first time an incident, an accident, a planned event carried out by Mossad or others shut down their operations, at least for a time. I want to share with you something. We were talking earlier about how members of the Progressive Squad still shouting out, how many more Palestinians have to die before Israel stops firing on Gaza? I saved the best for last. You might say I buried the lead, but I did it with intention. Former President Barack Obama issued a statement that he wrote out yesterday. He did say Israel should dismantle Hamas, but he's not criticizing Israel for the way it is dismantling Hamas. Really, talking out both sides of his mouth. Here's the way the statement reads, and I'm going to read it direct. As I stated in an earlier post, Israel has a right to defend its citizens against such wanton violence. And I fully support President Biden's call for the U.S. to support our long-term ally in going after Hamas, dismantling its military capabilities, facilitating the safe return of hundreds of hostages to their families. To that point, okay. And then comes the but. There's always a but somewhere. You know there's a but. Sometimes it's called an a-hole, but in this case, it's a but, and it could be one and the same. But even as we support Israel, we should also be clear that Israel prosecutes this fight against Hamas matters. Basically saying the world is watching closely as events in the region unfold, and any Israeli military strategy that ignores the human cost could ultimately backfire. You don't think Israel understands that? They also know if we don't exterminate them, they'll be right back in our backyards, in our streets, in our homes again. And he adds, already thousands of Palestinians have been killed in the bombing of Gaza, many of them children. And that apparently is a fact, and that is a shame. But you know why? Because Hamas is using them as shields. What kind of terrorist group, every terrorist group, would use women and children as shields? You talk about first-class cowards. That's what they are. And then he adds the Israeli government's decision to cut off food, water, and electricity to captive civilian population. He just acknowledged they're being held captive by their own people. But cutting off power, electric, and food threatens to worsen a growing humanitarian crisis. Yes, it does. That it also erodes global support for Israel. For some, it does. Play into the hands of Israel's enemies. Again, for some, it does. And undermine long-term efforts to achieve peace and stability in the region. What the hell did you do, Barack Hussein Obama, to bring peace to the Middle East? You actually enabled Iran to get more money to use for terrorist causes, to send money to Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, and to move forward on building a nuclear weapon. That's what you did. What did you do other than that to bring peace? Zippo. Coming up, David Harsanyi on how some of the polls in the public are showing how far apart we are. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.